Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, I answered the second question and the third question. So let's begin with question four today.
And when the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Okay, let's go on to our next question. Now, this questioner asked about a Southern Baptist pastor who fell into immorality, and it was in the newspapers. Now, this questioner is a Calvinist, so he asked if this is the kind of person Baptists model. Now, I know some well-known Calvinists who have had moral problems. I did not mention them unto him. As David in his sin, this pastor gave the enemies of God a chance to blaspheme. And the questioner obviously has proven that to be true nearly every time a sin as this is committed, especially by a preacher. Now, I hope that any time a man falls into an immorality with another woman, or a woman with a man, or a homosexual relationship, I hope that they are revealed and that we are shocked. I'm not a Southern Baptist. They're too liberal for me. But even if it is a good man separated from worldliness, separated unto God, independent fundamental Baptist, and be it people I know and highly respect, and men of whom I have some doctrinal differences, but highly respect their ministry, believing that they are far better spiritually than I am. I think of Peter Masters over in England. Brilliant man. Now, we disagree on Calvinism and some things of the future and in the millennium and so forth, and premillennial and postmillennial and things like that, but very godly in so much that he has to say. And so I'm not exalting myself over any other man. I don't want to model myself after any man, and I don't want anybody to model themselves after me. This is the goal right here in 1 Peter 2, verses 19 through 25, where it says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patient? But if, when ye do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." Now, folks, I put here, I admire men who have suffered wrongfully. Their faith is strong and will be rewarded. Matthew 5:10-12 where the Lord said, blessed to even rejoice when men accuse you, to call matter of evil against you falsely, for his name's sake. He says, great is your reward in heaven. I believe that. Now, I have found that all stands I've taken in life ended up with people who tell half-truths, and as Satan becomes an accuser, they become accusers of our intents, our motives, and thoughts. Although they are wrong, for only God sees the heart. Basically, when a person's accusing somebody, they don't have love in their heart. They did this, they did that, and they don't know. Then they're claiming to say, when they say, this is what they think, they're claiming to be God. That's blasphemy. And verse 19 is addressing that, and verse 20 that we just read about what is acceptable with God, showing that suffering for your faults is deserved, so take it patiently. But verse 21 tells us our example is Jesus Christ, and it is His Spirit that we must allow to hold us. So verses 22 through 25 are great, and I have not attained to that level. So I can tell you that. I do keep pressing toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But my friend, in 1 Peter 2, verses 19 through 25, I have a long way to go to be what that is. And so I let this gentleman know that as well. And again, there are people who, like this gentleman, now wasn't quite as caustic as others, but mentioned the Southern Baptists who fell into immorality. I do not rejoice whether it was a Catholic priest, a Presbyterian, a Southern Baptist, a staunch reformist Calvinist, or an independent Baptist fundamentalist straight down the line preacher. I don't rejoice when any of them fall, because it always brings reproach to the name of Christ, because somehow another, even though they may be in other ways that they are associated with Christ, and so that just brings reproach to the name of Christ. David, King David is a godly man. God gave him Psalms that he wrote that's in Holy Writ, and God only spoke and gave them word for word those words. It had to be holy men of old spoke as the Holy Ghost uttered to them each word. So I want you to understand that in answering these questions, I also want you to understand that there are men that have been good men that have fallen into immorality in every denomination across the board. And so, folks, although I digress for just those few moments from the question and answer part, I'm saying that because don't rejoice when somebody falls. Don't rejoice when somebody falls. It's not a time to rejoice. It's a time to pray for their repentance and getting right with God. And if you have a true heart for Jesus Christ, you'll do that. I'll never see eye to eye with Calvinism or Catholicism. I believe really they're pretty close to being the same. People get mad at me saying that, but I have reasons I say that I'm not going into, but I don't rejoice if one of them falls, and I've seen some of them fall. Okay, here's another question now, the next question. I listened to a part of the sermon on the right to life on your website. I agree, this is a matter that needs attention, but not in the church. How does this glorify God? Church is for worship. Worship the Lord, not this. I guess anyone can preach on anything these days. I was not impressed at all. And they signed In Jesus Christ, and the lady signed her name. Well, I wrote her back, and I said, thank you for your concern for God's house. However, you and I may have a fundamental difference. I believe that every word of God is God-breathed and preserved. 2 Timothy 3:16 through chapter 4, verse 4. And then Psalms chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God's word and God's truth is never out of place in church, nor anywhere else it is preached. To proclaim His word is part of worship, be it in church or open air. Culture never trumps the Word of God. Now, let me repeat that for you listening today. Culture never trumps the Word of God. They were really upset in Nazareth when Jesus read from Isaiah in the synagogue. They tried to throw Him off the brow of a hill. His sermon in Matthew 24 offended many. The Apostle Paul usually got chased out of the synagogue when preaching truth. So we never apologize for naming sin when teaching the Word. The sermon used the Word of God rightly. Now let me just stop here for a moment. I actually did not preach that sermon. It was another man in my church, Mr. Osborne, who preached it and did an outstanding job with it. And if you go to sermonaudio.com and you look to /Central Baptist, put the /Central Baptist, then you type in for sermon title, Right to Life, or you look under speakers Randy Osborne and click on his name. That sermon will be one of those that comes up that he has preached for us. Now, again, we never apologize for preaching the Word. Remember, Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17, 17, it said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So the preaching of truth sanctifies, that is, it sets us apart for holy use. In that very same prayer, Jesus was very specific about they are in the world, but not of the world. We're not supposed to worship God in a worldly manner. We're not to try to appeal to the flesh and the sensuality. We are to worship the Lord in spirit using His word, and look, any part of God's word is acceptable. So I go on to say, your position may be honestly held. I cannot condemn you for it, especially since only God can condemn. Psalms 119:105 states, thy word is a lamp to my feet, that is, it shows me myself, and a light to my path. It shows me the direction I should go.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation for the Bible. I will plan.